for that allows us to come together this morning to hear your word, which we know will illuminate our lives and help us so much if we but open ourselves to it. For you are here, Lord, to fill vessels, vessels who have not made themselves, and vessels who do not actually control themselves. But there is a power beyond that all, and that power, Lord, we know is you. And so therefore we pray that even as right now the Holy Spirit is ranking all things under Jesus and all things are coming into divine order, that we will recognize that as a part of our own lives, that we also are coming into divine order. And you that have begun the good work in us will perform it in this very hour, because we do not believe there is another hour ahead of us. So, Lord, with the solemnity and sobriety of this moment, we pray we may study your word and know the things which are of God's. And we carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This message this morning is number 5B. Number 5B in the series, Ephesians 1:15-23. And the subtitle is The Revelation in the Knowledge of Him. And this will be a little more definitive even than last night, where he showed you the Spirit of Wisdom, actually God, making us privy to his foreknowledge as of this very moment. Now, in the last two messages, then we studied as to who the Spirit of Wisdom was, and what was entailed in his presence in the church. And it was shown by Scripture that the Spirit present was Christ, the wisdom of God, who is the Logos, who is the revealer of God. Now, the reason we say Christ is the wisdom of God and the Logos of God is because he definitely is that, in that God manifested himself in Jesus, and Jesus the Son is the express image of Almighty God, so that we literally see him to be the embodiment of God, the wisdom of God, and that, of course, is the Logos, because the Logos translates or interprets into manifestation the invisible. Now, this Spirit of Wisdom placed the church correctly in history for the last guardian beast. Remember, there's four beasts before the throne, and they are guardians of history. And the last beast before the throne was the eagle, and the eagle is symbolized in the prophet. That's the hour in which we live, is the hour of the prophet, the hour of revelation. So we saw it was Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite utterly the earth with a curse. That's from the Old Testament. The New Testament, of course, is Revelation 10, 1 and 7, where this mighty one, this covenant messenger, actually the Logos, comes down out of heaven, planting his feet upon the earth and sea. And at that time, there is a prophet in the land. Now, we know that the only prophet that can be is one upon whom is the spirit of Elijah. So we know, or we knew, that it was the eagle eye. That is the, you know, the beast before the throne. The eagle gets way up there and views everything, flying in the heavenlies, and is able to interpret correctly. So it was the eagle eye receiving the foreknowledge of the bride from the mind of God. That's what we saw. This prophet was able because of his unique position. And the Spirit of Almighty God, and that one being present who alone can give revelation of God, he was able to give us. So therefore, the bride was receiving what he gave us, which was the foreknowledge of the mind of God, making this age the age of the mind. Now, Brother Branham brought that to our attention, that the last moving part of the body is the eye, and above the eye comes the mind. So therefore, if the eye stage should ever come into being, then there must be the mind that follows it. And that is true. This is the age of the mind, and to the age of the mind comes God's own mind, or revelation of the foreknown plan and how he implements it, dealing especially with the resurrection and the rapture. Now that is what we saw in Ephesians. We've been seeing it all along, that you cannot divorce the resurrection and rapture from the revelation, for the revelation is not only prior to it, but is necessary for it, because God does not do anything which is unnecessary. Everything in the economy of God is as economical, you might say, and as strict as God is Himself. Now, we saw then both wisdom and prudence come into view. That is the blueprint of foreknowledge, and the blueprint predestinated or brought into a present manifestation, what we're looking at. And we saw how the living, breathing Word of God should change the flesh of the bride to immortal flesh, for the life of the Word of foreknowledge revealed that this was the hour for it. Now, when I say something like that, you've got to understand we're speaking in terms of what God has prophesied will happen, and at the hour, that which was prophesied for that hour does happen, and that's the same as when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then He said, "Let the earth bring forth," and the earth brought forth. So every time God said something, there was a time when it had to manifest that what God said was actually inbreathed by God, so that every time God spoke, God would come into manifestation of some description. Like when God created nature out there and brought it to pass, you can see God manifested in nature, though nature is not God. You can see a manifestation there of His creative ability. So, the word of this hour that was brought us must be pertinent to what God would do in this hour, having formerly prophesied it. So what we see here is the prophetic utterances of God brought into preeminence at this very minute. Now, the Word being life itself, once received in a vessel of mercy, will perform what it is living for in the vessel. Now, God doesn't come on the scene and say, "Hey, I'm reiterating to you that there's going to be a resurrection and a rapture. I'm reiterating to you that there is going to be a change of mortal flesh." Now, you see, that's the very thing that Brother Branham called vain repetition when people prophesy. Praise the Lord. The Lord's coming soon. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not a prophecy unless you were a prophet to identify it. And then you'd tell everything else that went with it. Now, you could be speaking under an inspiration, and it might not necessarily be the legitimate, accurate inspiration of the hour. Just something's cutting in from the outside. There's a lot of that. Paul said there's many voices out there in the air, but there is a voice that speaketh from heaven. So when I mention that we study and see that the Lord is bringing a revelation pertinent to the hour of the resurrection and rapture, you must know then that what He is saying is of the definitive nature that will do the work in the vessel that receives it. Now, I've made a statement here. I'm going to prove it later on. Now, that's not too hard to follow. So now we're going to go to the other portion of Scripture that we want to deal with this morning specifically. And that's over here, of course, in Ephesians again, the first chapter, 17 and 18, but especially 17. "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Now, what we're looking at specifically is the knowledge of Him. Now, listen carefully so that you'll hear what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying. The word knowledge, as of this point in the Scripture, in Revelation 1:17, specifically is this: not simply to know, such as seeking to know or inquire, especially into spiritual truth. In other words, this is not given to you basically for a sense of knowledge that you can know the Scripture. The devil can know the Scripture, and I'll quote you 101. You can go to a dead Methodist, Baptist, any kind of a church, and then I'll quote you 101. If you want to know material, you just begin to educate your mind and coordinate your thinking, and you'll know a lot of things. But this is not simply a knowledge that you acquire by looking into Scripture. What is this word knowledge? A clear and exact knowledge. Now, you can have a lot of knowledge about how to make a cake. There's a lot of knowledge required there if you want to be a real technician. That's not worth a plug nickel if you want to fix a car. Not worth a plug nickel. There's no such thing as the transference of the mechanics of making a cake to the mechanics of fixing a car. Ask me, I know. I can make a jolly good cake. Without even using one of those boxes, cut the top and put it in the oven. No, I'm going to make a cake, it's going to be a good one. But I sure can't fix the car. You see what I'm saying? A clear and exact knowledge is now coming forth. I said a clear and exact knowledge. Therefore, the seals have been removed from the Bible. The thunders are no longer signs. Well, you couldn't have this knowledge. No way. Follow me? All right. The next thought that lies in this word. Thorough participation on part of the knower with the object of knowledge. Well, if I know all about cars, I'll fix them. Thorough participation on part of the knower with the object of knowledge. In other words, there is a knower and there is something he knows. Now there's a participation of the knower with that which is known. Further, a knowledge, now listen, a knowledge that has a powerful influence on the knower. I know how to make a cake. Pat. What influence that got? Well, it might happen on you if you like cake and I make you cake. But it still doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Now, I'm talking about this scripture. Not simply to know. A lot of people fool a lot of people. I can. I had a very high IQ as a kid. You know how I got it? The same way any nut does. Read, 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 read. And you snow everybody because you read, and you have a lot of unassorted facts and literally know nothing. Right? Now you smart boys that got all your degrees, right? Come on, Joe, right? Gene, right? Amen. Joe, everybody, right? You know I'm right. Bruce knows I'm right. I think Bruce kind of get a little guilt complex right now. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah. Just kidding. Look. I know about IQs. In other words, a plug nickel. Take a real aptitude test. But you really know. Not a general knowledge. Not somebody wanting to know, especially in spiritual verities, but a clear and exact knowledge, thorough participation on part of the knower with what is known, a knowledge that has a powerful influence on the knower. Now that's what it says here. Let's go to 1 John 5. 13 and 20. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, hey, a devil! You believe, and you know, and you believe again! Amen. You've accelerated your faith. Your faith has come to the dynamism of a specific. And this is the confidence that we have in Him at this time. You ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Ha! People have been praying for years, if it be Thy will, O God, if it be Thy will, O God, if it be Thy will, O God. And the Pentecostals like me, and if you were one of them, sneered. Then the prophet comes along. And he said, you haven't got a right to ask anything or think anything or do anything lest God reveals it. Then the bride knows what she has and what she has to do with it. She goes ahead and does it. the specific knowledge. All right. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, how do you know? Unless there's a specific knowledge there. No way. No way can a person know. You see what I'm trying to show you? The Bible was written for this hour, and what the prophets and the spoken words original seed, the bride knows who she is. And God has revealed Himself to her. And she won't make one move. And when she does it, all of us, thus saith the Lord. Not that she says, thus saith the Lord, but it is thus saith the Lord, because you see, she knows the mind of God and knows what to do with it. This is His hour. Amen. I like it. I might not be one, but hell yeah, I can stand back and pour the muscle on it and rejoice because it's out there somewhere. Listen, wouldn't you feel good just to know something is perfect somewhere and there's something really working somewhere that isn't phony, baloney, bunch of junk, a reality? Well, let me tell you, it is. People sit around picking their noses. Something's going on. Try to make up your mind if this is the real message. You want to dedicate your lives to it? Make up your mind. Don't give me any nonsense around here. Not when I'm in this pulpit. It's too late in the day. Now, if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petition we desired of Him. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Now that's the Holy Spirit. Definite, apart from Son of Man. And has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself idols. This thing repeats. At the time when the Son of Man is revealed. That is when Christ, standing in the place of Jesus, the man, Son of God, is here doing the same thing, and we know. Now that precedes the resurrection and the rapture. Thus, this knowledge is more than information of things general, though spiritual, but a most specific knowledge of a person, which knowledge looses the power of the known one upon the knower. God loosing His power into the individual. If you don't believe that, how come God takes a handful of gas and ashes and makes a man out of it? Amen. And if He does that, what about a bride standing here? I remember when Brother Branham died. I'd had this dream, you know, about him dying. And I know that I myself said, He'll rise the third day, and I thought that had a spiritual connotation. So, we were outside the tabernacle, the same gloomy, funny feeling that I had in my dream. They brought the body back, brought it back to Jeffersonville. And I was asked the question, what do you think? I said, I don't know. I haven't heard from God. I have no revelation. I know nothing, the prophet said, but from where I stand, I'll be more surprised if He doesn't come back than if he does. At that time, I was thinking perhaps a private resurrection might occur. A voice spoke later on and said, though one rose in the dead, he won't believe in that, did it? That ended it right there. I was mad. It was a speculative thing. A young brother came to me when I told him that. He said, I gave up hope. He said, Lee, I was trained to be a mortician. And when a man dies, they take a thing called a trocar, which is a kind of like a spear with an iron thing with a hook on it. And they shove it into the bowels. And they start pouring in the formaldehyde and the embalming fluids. And they jiggle him all up. And he said, when I knew that happened, I knew he couldn't come back. And I said, Bobby, God arranged men from a handful of ashes and dust. He'll raise them. In spite of embalming fluid, if that's the plan of God. I've never forgotten my stand, and I don't intend to take it back, I'm telling you. knowing Him. Looses the power of Him at that moment. Just like on Calvary, when they killed Him, the life was loose to come back and ask it. Did it come back? Then you say this life of immortality cannot come back upon a bride. I say you don't know what you're talking about. It's time to go back to Calvary. Now we carefully note that the knower, the one who knows, is the seventh church age bride. And the object of the knower is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is making Himself known through imparting by Himself the knowledge of Himself. And this will have a powerful impact on the knower. That's why it says the eyes of the heart being illumined. Let us see some of the impact that we can well understand is there because of His presence. First of all, we might go to Matthew 24. Verse 27, it tells us, as lightning comes out of the east, the Logos comes out of the east, even to the west, shining, illuminating, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father. Nobody knew. Wasn't anyway. Prophet of God standing there didn't know. Same like John the Baptist didn't know. Something had to happen and did. 37 to 43, but as the days of Noah, but as the days of Lot, so shall also the present Son of Man be. Two going to be in the field, one taken, one left. Two men grinding, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, it would have had an impact. It would have had an impact. House wouldn't have been broken into. Amen. Wouldn't have suffered those things to happen. You think that God didn't know this age? That's why He came down to finish it off. Amen. No man will ever stand before God in the judgment and say, Lord, I didn't have a chance to know. Because this was not done in a corner. Therefore, he be also ready for such an hour, thinking of the Son of Man coming. Who then is that faithful, wise servant? When his Lord shall make him rule over his household to give him meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall so find doing. But how do you know? If you only knew what was transpiring, it would have an impact on you. Now that's why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. Sure, I'm preaching over your heads. I'm preaching over my head. But I know one thing. If I keep preaching it, you'll start to get aware of it and something will happen to you. Amen. But you can't deal with foolishness. You're still playing too much church. Now get over it. Well, I'm not talking about pretty nice little things out there. Forget it. Merciful God, that's been going on for 2,000 years. Not only in Christianity, but in every cult under high heaven. From Buddha, Muhammad, the rest of them. Not talking about that. Talking about this present day reality. Let's go to Matthew 25. Let's see the impact there. The fourth verse. Sixth verse. Sorry. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Now, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready. How did they get ready? By going out to see him. It was an impact. Hey? They made themselves ready. How? By looking. They went into the marriage. The door was shut. Watch you therefore if you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. See, impact. Further, you're going to like this one. You can't help it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. So did you come behind in no gift waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who at that time in the apocalypse, which is the presence, which is the revealing, which is the manifestation, Now listen. Who shall confirm you unto the end that establish you, that you may be blameless without guilt so no one can even lay a charge against you? The impact of Christ in this hour is to make you blameless and chargeless. Where Brother Branham said, little bride, you didn't even do it. You're justified. But you got to be bride. Impact. Ephesians. The fourth chapter. The Omega of him that came down. And this time he bypassed the apostles and prophets and the evangelists and pastors and teachers on the ground of the fivefold and went right back to the days of Paul, where God consorted with a prophet apostle, and this hour William Branham, to the perfecting of saints, for to continue the work of the ministry, to the final touches, bringing up the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, even the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That's this hour the impact of the presence of Almighty God. Now we're talking about God's presence. And we're talking about you and me in relation to that presence. Don't you understand the tremendous impact of this? God, with the foreknown standing here, and him loosing upon us that which lies in him.
Yes, praise the Lord.
You say, Brother Vail, what am I going to do? Consecrate yourself. That's all you can do. Prophet of God stood there. Those mighty angels came down in the vision. I don't even know if it was a vision. Could have been a little pre-taste, I don't know. And you know the word he gave? You people stay here till I get back. And I must consecrate myself for the visitation. What are you going to do about it? Merciful God, what are you going to do except say, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. Oh, we get fussed up. What am I going to do? How am I going to think? What's here? What's there? Oh, for heaven's sake, listen. You wouldn't know what to do in the presence of God except flee and wish you could die. Even a vision curdles your blood. It's a good thing we can't see him. I want to take a gun and blow my brains out already without even seeing him. But the presence is going to do it, the impact. An impact of this knowledge. No longer tossed to and fro. Right in this message, people believe any old thing that comes along.
Amen.
One thing tears me up is to find sweet and nice people. See some stupid little picture. I maybe shouldn't say stupid little picture, some little picture.
Amen.
Take your pictures. Go back to the Catholic Church. And the Protestant vomit. He stands here. The God of all the earth stands here. What impact will there be on those who don't even know it? None. Because it's a revelation. And you tell me you're going to be bright outside of this message? We got people who can't make up their minds. Make up your mind this morning. It's cold turkey. Do what you want. I can't help you. I preach. I've got a little gift from the vertical. I put it to the horizontal. You do what you want. It's up to God to finish with you. But it says there's an impact. Let us understand that this knowledge does not come to each member as does the Holy Spirit in imparting life as the Logos did separating himself at Pentecost. But it is a spirit that comes into the corporate body. As in Revelation 10, 1 to 7, where seven, the prophet, reveals to the people, Revelation 10, 1 to 6. It is also Malachi 4, 5 and 6 who says, I'm coming with healing in my wings. When I do, Elijah will be there and you won't die. But when I come that next time, I wouldn't care if a million Elijahs were there. I'm going to destroy you when I come, and nothing's going to stop me. But the first time, he stopped Elijah. Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is absolutely, Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is absolutely, Ephesians 1, which I've read to you. It is not the Spirit giving individual leanings. Many people would like to think so. They're good, they're fine, but this is not it. That is why that great thing coming said the prophet is not a miracle ministry, is not character, is not fruit. It is a message to the bride, and it foreruns the wedding supper. Where God says, take a good look at me and see if you want me. Now people talk about loving Jesus. The lovely one with the lovely eyes, the nail-scarred hand. And he's, I'm here, hallelujah. He is nothing but the image of God. You say you love him and hate the very one in whose image he is? That's hogwash. Jesus said, if I had not done the works of other men did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. You find a church, and I will name names, like the Church of Christ. And maybe 70%, or what is it, 55% of the Baptists, or I don't know. And they deny that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They hate God, though they say they love him. Now, come on. I'll tell you a true story. Judas kissed Jesus, and the Bible said he kissed him affectionately, and the same time he cut his throat. Amen. I want to say, do you know him this morning? If you knew him, you'd recognize him. Jesus said, if you knew Moses, you'd recognize me. He said, if you knew the word, he said, search scripture, you see me in there. Amen. All right? Let's see some scripture that just might help concerning this knowledge. We go to Romans, the first chapter, 18 to 30. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who hold the truth and righteousness. Now this is the wrath held back for this hour that is coming, even as the wrath fell in the days of Noah. And typically in an area like Sodom and Gomorrah and also in Jerusalem. They are merely types of what God does universally, and he only does it twice. Alpha is Omega when it comes to people. There will be another renovation of the entire universes, but that has nothing to do with people and wrath. The Omega of the Alpha of Noah is coming up. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now he said it's manifest in them. It's clearly something that they can apprehend. Why? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Well, I got a little fossil out here. Well, that sure shows some kind of evolution. Well, what it is, you see, there's a selective process going on, a mutation. Merciful heavens. You know what? I doubt if one... The figure one, followed by eight trillion zeros, would give us enough time to bring us from a tadpole or God knows what to where we are today. Because the whole theory of evolution is a mischievous chance that happened. Where did all the right mutations come from? These guys are liars. Amen. They're sick. They're fools. They're perverts. They're serpent seed. Right. Science falsely so called. You can't tell there's a God by looking at nature. If I were you, I would stop the world and jump off. Because on judgment, it'd be a million times better now than a judgment day to compact and compile your sins. Listen, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. This goes beyond knowing God by creation. But became vain. wicked, idolatrous in their reasonings, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became insipid. You ever been around these cultists? This is the word, insipid. And they sort of mouth and drool around. Now, you know what I'm talking about if you're half a month old, even, spiritually speaking. Insipid. Make you vomit. Give you the creeps. You just want to get away from that stuff. Look how far they went. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man. He even got down to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That means they're worshiping God in nature. God's everywhere. God's in everything. He's in you. He's in me. He's in the tree and the plant. Oh, well, maybe not the plant. He was in the tree to begin with. What if the tree died? Where'd God go? Killed God, eh? Maybe not. Maybe went to some other tree. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They either went too far into sex or not far enough. Or they became celibate. And stupid. Celibacy is not necessarily a god. If you don't have the gift for it, keep away from it. Change the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the creator. In other words, they came under bondage of things they could taste, feel, and smell, the elements and all those things. And they got confused where reality lay. And for this cause, God gave up the vile affection. For even the women changed the use of their natural use into what was against nature. Likewise, the men, having natural use, the women leaving it, burned in their lust one toward another. This homosexuality, men and men working, that's unseemly. Receiving themselves a recompense, their error, which was meat. You talk about diseases rampant. It never was so diseased until man got with man. That'll rot them. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That is, they did not approve of God. They didn't approve of God, like the Catholics don't approve of the Pope when he said you can't have birth control in an unnatural way. That's the biggest laugh in history. I can't understand these Catholics. They're so much for the church, and they're so much against the poor old Pope. Because they say, now, Popey, old boy, don't you know that we're going to practice birth control? Now, why don't you say it's okay, because we're going to do it anyway? You talk about a bunch of people that are messed up. Protestants the same junk. No different. I mean, they believe the same junk. Not that they're junk, they believe the same junk. They didn't approve of God. Why did they change the gospel back there? Why did they have another Jesus? Why another spirit? Because they didn't approve of it. We want a God of our own ideas. When William Branham came on the scene like Paul, did they approve? No way did they approve. They said one God dropped dead. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, and malignity, whispers, backbiting, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breaks, unnatural affection, practical, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. And there are people right today that believe in God of sorts, they believe in God maybe more definitive, and they'll do the most vile things under high heaven. Say nothing to it. All right, 28th verse. And as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they disapproved of God. God gave more to reprobate minds. Notice, reprobate minds to do the things which are not convenient. Now listen, isn't that exactly the same as over here in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, when he says, because thou sayest, and listen, this is what they're saying, is what they're thinking. I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. But he said, you better do something about it. Buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, white raiment you may be clothed, the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve. That sounds as though they had the eye salve there, but they don't. In the literal Greek, it says, go and get some eye salve. They think all the while they've got the Holy Ghost, and all they've got is an anointing. Amen. They have substituted the presence of God for the gifts of God. Now, you just ask my wife how it would feel if I went out here and jumped off a building, but before I did it, I left her a whole pile of gifts, and I said, now, honey, this will take my place. Ask her how she'd feel. I'm saying that because we got a good marriage. There's some more good marriages here, too. So, Mary, how would you feel if Bill did that to you? Would the gifts take place of the man? No way. See what's wrong today? Got food. Sold down a river. Yep. Listen. Back to Romans 1. 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. You talk about way back in yesterday, the days of Noah. Listen, that's for today. Let's go over here to 2 Timothy, where Brother Branham took us all the time. Third chapter. Know this also. Verse 1. In the last days shall come perilous times. Not the first days, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, not the sixth, but the seventh. Seven perilous times. And Jesus said, where they said, what is the sign of thy presence? And he said, don't you be deceived. Because many false prophets are going to rise. They're going to say, lo here, lo there, he's this, he's that. And he said, men are going to do it. He said, stay away. For men who are lovers of their own self, covetous boasters, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despised those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So they got a lot of that, but there's no authority, there's no power. They just say it as it, well, the church says so, the church says so. Who cares what the church says? For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, that away divers lusts. That's your churches. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice that special verse in there. Never learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Same as back there. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith, but they'll proceed no further, for the false may be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. Now listen, you stay with the church system that went astray, and every single one is turned out of the way. Amen. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. There's no way you can't get around it, because it says right here, their folly may be manifest, and this comes way down from the beginning. It was organization, blasphemous names. It was the heart and their daughters that did all of this. And yet people say, I joined a church. Okay, it's fine. Join a church. If you want to join a church, you better be born again, though. Amen. See? All right. Again, notice the parallel of yesterday and today. Romans 10, 1 to 2. That's a great book, because it speaks about God's righteousness. 10, 1 to 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, they might be saved. But I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Is that right? Okay. Revelation 3 again. And in verse 17, because you say, here's their knowledge, I'm a rich increase with goods of need nothing, and you don't know. You know something that's wrong. You don't know what is right. You can't even tell you're sick. Knowest not you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, blind. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice on the door, I will come to him and sup with him, and he is me. Presence of God to rectify the situation. Morals aren't going to do it. I'm a rich increase with goods of need nothing, and you don't know. You know something that's wrong. You don't know what is right. You can't even tell you're sick. Knowest not you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, blind. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice on the door, I will come to him and sup with him, and he is me. Presence of God to rectify the situation. Morals aren't going to do it. Legislation is not going to do it. And living a life is not going to do it. No way. No way. Mm-mm. Not at all. What God gives me and what I do with it. No way. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 3 to 6. And this will do if God permit. What if God didn't permit? That time he didn't. For it's impossible. Those who once were wrong before, it is impossible. For those who are once for all enlightened and taste the heavenly gift, be partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God and the power of the world to come. Not if they shall fall away, but having fallen away, it is impossible to ever renew them again to repentance. No way can they change their mind. It's as Brother Branham said, you turned down this last day message, and it's like that priest would take you to the door and put your door earlobe against the door jamb and punch the awl through it. You would never, never, ever hear the call of liberation again. Never, you're stuck. Then you join that church and take their creeds and dogmas. You go to the Antichrist, let him put his mark in your hand and in the forehead. The forehead starts first, because that's where you take the creeds and dogmas, and your hand signs that you'll do it, and you begin to do his will. You'll never hear again. You're gone, lake of fire. No way. Only those who refuse the mark of the beast, those that turn him down, they're the only ones that are going to make it. The foolish virgin will die. Millions, perhaps, will die. Come up in the second resurrection. All right. Matthew 24 and 24. Very same thing. For there shall arise false prophets, even false Christ, even lying prophets, and show such legitimate signs and wonders. All but the very elect will be deceived. Wrong knowledge. Now listen. The wrong zeal of the wrong knowledge of God is what's wrong today. Brother Branham sat with me in Dallas, Texas, way back about 1958. There the voice of healing men sat there. And Brother Branham loved one man above all the rest. He said, this certain brother, Lee, looks to me as the best of the works. There's something about him. And he tried to talk to that man. And he gave him one message. He said, brother, your zeal has outrun your knowledge. See? How dangerous. Brother, sister, that's what I'm telling you. In this Greek word, it is not a general knowledge where men know so many things, but it's a knowledge where they know Him. And it's the impact of Him that comes upon the knower. This reminds me of Brother Branham's vision. This knowledge has gone rampant. Where he saw the man with the triune, the tri-cornered club beating down the woman. And he said, that was my father, sort of, and that was my mother, sort of, because I was born into them. And he said, I saw him beating down the woman. Every time she rose, he grins. He would just beat her down again with that triune club and grin so happy like he'd done some big thing until he, by faith in God, rebuked it. Well, that's the time when the God was showing him that the woman was the church and the husband were the doctrine and the organization which beat her down. And every time she tried to rise up with a revelation of Him who is one God, to know His name and those things that are vital, He beat her down every time. And Brother Branham was beaten plumb off the bat because he believed in one God, though he himself was not a oneness preacher per se in the sense of denomination and organization. Let's go back to Ephesians again. We want to see some scripture here. It's going to show you what we're talking about in the sense of the definitive and that which is not so definitive in the revelation. The 13th verse, till we all come in unity of faith and even of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now that's that legitimate, full-blown knowledge that we take out of, we just read within the context a while ago, when the Holy Spirit Himself comes down with this revelation of Him where Jesus struck Paul down, that light struck him down the Logos, and he said, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jehovah's Savior. I'm that one. He identified himself. And Paul listened. Now, I want to give you a contrast. This is the definitive revelation of God that comes by a prophet to the church, which the whole fivefold ministry is obligated to preach, and without it there can never come a maturing. The Bible said so. I don't care what anybody else says. Oh, they say, well, God will do it. Don't you know that God's got ways of doing things? When did God come down to you, Norm, and say, Norm, I'm glad to meet you. You are my fine little boy. I'm going to come and do something like that. Now, that's the junk that Brother Branham talked about in the days of Martin, right? When the man came in with the crown on and the beautiful robe, and he said, I am Jesus, your Lord, and I have come to give you a white robe and all this sort of jazz. And then another one said, fall down and worship me. Fall down. They knew something was kind of all messed up. God has His way of doing things. It is by the gospel, and the gospel is preached. Actually, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was by preaching. Amen. Absolutely. The angel came to Zechariah and said, he's going to forerun him. And the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to bear him. According to a prophecy of Isaiah. The same thing happens all the time. It's by the preaching. Who has the right to preach? Only those that God calls legitimately. The rest dwelt in the pasture somewhere. How do they know it's legitimate? God's got to have somebody. And Paul said, my gospel, which I have brought to you. Now, this is the definitive revelation. But let's go now to Colossians, the first chapter, 9 and 10. And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's a different kind of revelation. That's a different kind. That's telling you about a conduct that you will abide in and increasing in the knowledge of God. It is a general thing with the people generally. Sure, they've been taught it. But here's something they can grasp on their own. They understand this. You could also read 11 to 23. Strength with all might, according to his glory's power, with all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. That's been here for 2,000 years, 20 centuries. Giving thanks to the Father, which made us meet to be partakers and inheritance of saints in light. Deliver us from the power of darkness and translates into the King of the dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You can know that. That's simple. What we're looking at here is revelation and revelation. Now, in this scripture here, there's much that you and I can pick up. But at the end time, there's something that nobody but the prophet can pick up. As God himself delivers himself, exegetes himself through the spirit of the prophet, and brings us a revelation of himself. What I've been reading here pertaining to revelation, Paul's own words say, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. There is a walk in the Spirit. But that walk in the Spirit, brother, sister, has nothing to do with the end time revelation where God himself reveals himself in a definite manner as he has never done before. And it has a bearing, an influence, an impact upon the hearer. Again in Timothy, we get the comparison of the two knowledges. Both are real, but for a different time. In 1 Timothy 2:1-6. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, giving thanks to me for all men. Anybody can understand that. For kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of a God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator, and God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to be testified, for all to be testified in due time. Now, notice in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That truth of salvation. There's something to it. There's a walk with it. People can get it on their own. In this sense, the Spirit of God will deal with them so that they will know these things. They can come to him. They can walk. They can have leading. Nobody doubts that. That's now. At any time it can be done. Let's go to 2 Timothy. The third chapter. And in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and these are the perilous times at the end time, there is a truth that the church of itself cannot get. But as Moses brought it, and Jannes and Jambres withstood it with signs and miracles, so at this time a man will step forth with the knowledge of Almighty God, and he will be withstood. Just exactly scripture, brother, sister. Now, let's go to the end time. See, two definitive revelations, as it were. One you can have, one you cannot have. One you may sit and argue about. But let's face it, this end time one, you'll argue nothing. You'll sit down and listen, every mouth closed. Every ear open. Two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as talking on it. Second Peter, pardon me, one. Second chapter. No? Yep. That's it. Second chapter. Second Peter. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire to see the miracle of the word, you may grow thereby. If so be ye tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed in them chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, golden in Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even them which stumble to the word being disobedient, whereunto they also are appointed. But you're a chosen generation of royal priesthood. Am I reading it? Yeah. You know what I got mixed up there? That's the second Peter. I know you can't follow me. Okay, let's go read Henry. Okay, I thought that's going to be way off trail. I could pick someone out there and not the truth. Here's what I want to look at. Got the wrong book. But there were false prophets. Also among the people, there should be false teachers among you. Now there. There were false prophets. What follows the false prophets? False teachers. And there are the goony birds that start the camps. There are the birds that bring in the sex and the insects and everything else. Make the thing a mess. Because they teach what the false prophets want to teach. They teach the heresies. They teach the lies. Built upon manifestation. Because a prophet can bring signs and be off the word. The true prophet, which hears from God and brings to the word of God, says, thus saith the Lord,
such and such a thing will happen. And it happens. That's the man when he brings a message of the word. You better listen. See? They shall proudly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's what Paul said. They got another Jesus. Second person of God is. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth be was spoken of. Then through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise, use judgment, for now a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not, for God spared not the angels of sin, and cast them down to hell, and delivered them, and the chains of darkness be received unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, preached righteousness, and bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Notice there are two worlds. The world of righteous, the world of the ungodly. The world of the godly gets saved, the world of the ungodly dies. And turn the cities to Sodom and Gomorrah and ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, make them an example unto those that should live ungodly, delivering just lot, mixed with filthy conversation of the wicked. That's the behavior. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of temptation to be punished, a day of judgment. That, in other words, we're going to miss the great tribulation. That's right. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and lust of uncleanness defies government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not raving accusation against them before the Lord. But these is natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish at their own corruption. Notice, they don't understand. Wrong knowledge. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count the pleasure to rot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Three kinds of believers. Make believers, unbelievers, and real believers. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. Now, that's Cain. Cain was cursed. Cursed child. What's this adultery? Not physical so much, it's spiritual. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, fallen the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Made money their God. But is rebuked in his iniquity. For his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice commands the man as the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds of care to the tempest. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, that is through the pleasures, much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. For if they have to escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again entangle therein, and overcome the latter end is worse than the beginning. And you know something? You mean to tell me that the Lutherans aren't worse off than the Catholics? As far as I'm concerned, they are. We're talking about churches, not people. Oh, you talk about a hodgepodge. You got a name that you're living or dead. Talk about a mess. Yeah. Those organizations that escaped, what happens? They're the worst than ever. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Who, what? Now, the Roman Catholic Church hated and killed the Lutherans. No doubt about it. And anybody else, whether you call them Lutheran or not. But when the Wesleyans came out of Luther, who slugged the Wesleyans? Lutherans. Shows what they were. They took the place of Roman Catholics. Catholics stood back and said, well, we got somebody doing our dirty work. Wonderful. Then the Pentecostals came out of the Wesleyans, right? And who blasphemed the Holy Ghost? Methodism. Now, who do you think is going to want to destroy us? You're not guessing. You don't have to guess. You don't have to guess. They did it to Brother Brown, the Pentecostals. The same thing that Paul did, thought he was doing God a favor to kill. The same thing this will do at the end. Because, you see, they're sure by gifts they've got God. Gifts are not the presence of God. Gifts are in the absence of God. It's the fooler. For it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments that were done to them. He said it's better. You don't believe that? Why is God going to destroy the Catholic Church and all the daughters? You're not going to stop it. But it happened unto them as according to the true proverb, the dog turned to his own vomit, the sow was washed, went to her own wallow. Now, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of punishment. How? Through the process of illumination. Right. John 3. Gospel. God so wrote, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him not perish everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now he said he's condemned. Now what's the condemnation? Where do you specifically get hit? Where's your unbelief hit? They mouth Jesus. They praise Jesus. They love Jesus. They mouth it. They heart it. They bowel it. I'm using legitimate terms on the scripture. But they're lost. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You cannot divorce Jesus from the Word, my brother, sister. Forget it. Turn down the Word, you turn Him down. To turn down the exegesis is to turn down the Jesus. Now that's a pun, that's a play on words, but it's still true. To turn down that which was led forth by words is to turn down Him who was led forth by words. Or to turn down the words that was the leading forth. Or the description. Or the qualitative analysis and synthesis, however you want to put it, is to turn down Him who was analyzed and synthesized or made clear before us. What was it? It was knowledge. See? The false prophets distorted. The false teachers took it. And when light struck, they would not come to the light, but they said, Hallelujah, Jesus. Who needs Elijah? Who needs the prophet? Who needs this? Who needs that? Well, evidently they don't.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. If God said so, I do need it.
Amen.
I'm very aware of it, however. More aware of it than I need to be on the grounds of guilt. But let me tell you something. After Brother Branham went so far as he went with the revelation, remember I told you the day, up there in the American Hotel in New York, I looked at him and I knew something had happened. And I believe I'm the only person living who knew something had happened. I don't say that to credit myself. I'm just telling you that that is the truth. His wife didn't know. His son didn't know. Nobody to my knowledge. And I knew that he knew that I knew. So he said, Lee, and he told me about the Colorado Mountains. And he said, since then, I have no gift. What did it? Oh, William Branham was a nice fellow. What he did, he began to obey God. Yes. And in his obedience as a hunter, he said, I won't hunt for anybody anymore. So what I did, I wouldn't shoot those three that I could have shot. And God says, oh, beautiful, oh, beautiful, beautiful. From now on, you won't feel guilt. Hogwash. It was a gift from the presence of God Himself. The knower had an impact from the one known. When I saw him the Sunday before he was fatally injured the following Friday, once again I saw something happen. He said, Lee, I've been to the mountains. And he said, from the moment I was there, he said, I don't know the meaning of fear. And he put something about since he was a child. Perfect love had cast up here. I want to ask you, was that because William Branham went up to a mountain? Well, if that's the case, let us get bulldozers and make us a mountain if we can't go to one. Let us go up the mountain. Well, in fact, let us all not be stupid. Let us get the plane out of here tomorrow for God's sake and go to Tucson. And I've got lots of friends who drive us. Oh, we'll get our own buses and we'll drive out there with Brother Branham. And we'll wait and we'll say, now, may it happen to me. It ain't going to happen. But it will eventually. It will. It will. Don't worry. You will not know the meaning of guilt. You will not know the meaning of fear. You will stand in His presence because the impact of Him will be there to do it to you. Now we can see this all deals with the intimate knowledge of both God Himself and His wisdom, and it has definitely effect on the bride. She now knows her mate, and so forth she knows who she is, and she is ready for the rapture. Now come on, that's simply proven. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, even by our gathering together unto Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man wants to come and behold me, he will fall in love with me and will have a conversation. I will reveal myself through the words of the prophet, and you will be changed.
The presence. The presence, the confrontation does it. But it's not just a confrontation. It is a revelation of the confronter. Now I want to go further. We'll go to Philippians. Well, you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Don't have to love me. Do you love the Lord? Would you love the Word?
Amen.
I hope you do. Not so many amens, so I'm going to have to re-educate you. You can't love the Lord without loving the Word. No way. It's Philippians 3, beginning at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Knowledge. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What did you lose? All the former knowledge got blasted. All the former knowledge went down the drain.
And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, and the righteousness which is of God by faith. It doesn't say your faith in Christ. It says Christ's own faith. So when he stands here, God will back him up.
I'm using the term of the Logos now. Actually, Jesus is on the throne. What he's supposed to have done at this hour, for what Jesus did for the human race, God must pay him back. God interjects his own faith. I mean his own righteousness because of Jesus' own faith. And what faith did he have? He went all the way to Calvary and died for us and knew that his death and resurrection would accomplish our release.
Amen.
From a scriptural demise. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If any means I might attain to the resurrection, the yet resurrection. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after that. If that I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended Christ. I'm going to teach on this eventually, but I'm not going to hit it hard this morning. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. In other words, you're listening to me, he said, now do what I'm telling you, follow my mental path. And if anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal it unto you. In other words, he said, look, If you're fully conscious of what I'm teaching at this hour concerning this thing here, and you are knowledgeable, but you're missing it, he said, don't worry, God will bring you around to the truth of it.
Amen.
That's why I say, I'm not worried about my preaching. I'll correct some of the things I say. Look, I've been preaching what? 8 sermons on one place and about 6 or 7 or another set. Well, there's 8 sermons about. I've preached maybe 16, 17 sermons here in the last little while. Do you think I haven't made some mistakes? I can tell you where they are. No problem. The Word corrects my error for this reason. I am simply misplacing Scripture. But it's the right subject. In other words, if I'm describing my anatomy, what if I should have my kidneys a little far up? No big deal. I got kidneys. They're just a bit up. I'll bring them down where they belong. People get so scared. I'm not adding a word or taking a word. I'm preaching the truth, which is a doctrine. And if I get a little mixed up as to here, when it should be up there, no problem. It's the same Perusia.
Amen.
The same God, the same people, same everything. If I got them a little bit too bright here and not quite bright enough there, he'll fix it up. Now he said, God will show him. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Do you realize there are special walks in special areas? Do you know that people can do certain things couldn't be done a while ago? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not just a Canadian by birth and conservative. I was raised in the Depression. Depression hit when I was about, 15 years old or so. We had it. Now, we didn't have it like some people did. We always ate good. We had clothes. Might have been tacky, but you could tack them on us. Didn't fall on. Shoes coming through the soles. Feet coming through the soles, but, you can put a pair of rubbers on them. If the heels came out of your socks, you just turn them over. You know, they got tube socks. They're smart. Same thing we had, but we didn't have tubes. It was tough. I'm another age.
to what even most of you people hire. So therefore, I don't understand the way you do things. Unless you're conservative, like a couple of guys I won't mention, I think they're deacons, you drive me plumb up all the way you handle money. I think you're lax, you're careless. And I look at young preachers, and I get upset with them. Till God spoke. And he said to me, he said, you're judging wrong. You don't belong in their age. Their age is an age of affluence, lots of money. Let them do what they like. That's their business and mine. Since then, young preachers want to blow money like it's coming down the drain boat. I stand back and say, hallelujah. I don't gig them anymore. I don't gig anybody. You do what you want. You're in a different age. But you better watch the scripture, though, on how honest you are. Now, there's always a rule there. But you follow what I'm saying? Every age is different. There's a conduct in ages. I don't care what a person says. There's a certain standard thread goes all the way through. But there's certain things in every age that differ from other ages. What made those people wear those funny black hats and those funny clothes which they're trying to bring to this age? It was okay in the age back there. Today, it is out. Now, it never was valid for women to wear men's clothes. It never was valid for them to cut their hair. But you see, the age has crept into the churches. And you can't blame those poor people. You should go to the pastor and say, Pastor, do something. You're condemning those people. And you'll have to stand in judgment. I'm going to tell you that. They will stand in judgment. Like Brother Branham said, if I teach you wrong, I'll answer. And if Lee Dale teaches you wrong, I will answer for you. But there, you know what I'm saying now, this age here, there are certain things you got to watch. Now, there's things in this age, like the definitive revelation of this hour, that could never happen except in age 1 and in age 7. And in age 1, it could not bring the fruit that it brings in age 7, because 1 is not 7. Yet 7 is cut off at the end and transplanted back to where 1 got cut off. So the same word is here today in its revealed form for the last hour. And it could never do in the first half what it does in the last half. See? Okay. Now, brethren, be false together to me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, as I've told you often, and now tell you even, become the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, glory is their belly, God is their belly, glory is their shame, and mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or our a body of humiliation, or whatever you want to call it. I like vile bodies pretty good. And it may be fashioned like unto the body of His glory. Doesn't say His glory's body, like the body of His glory. Where's the body of His glory? On the throne up there. This is the Holy Spirit coming down. This is God. According to the working whereby He's able to bring everything in order. Not subdue. That word subdue is wrong. That's like a vicious animal being subdued. This is the divine order of predestination that God has, like a military general, put into effect, where everything has its order. Order, the logistics, everything right up, up, and everything comes from the top. The head general, the field marshal, whatever you want to call it, down, 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 down. And look, what a glorious army. And that's why the bride's called an army. Because this word, subject, comes from the word ranking, which means as an army comes in ranks. See? Everybody is in step with the word. The word of this hour, our commander general himself. All right. Now, notice immediately in 10 to 11, that I may know in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of suffering being made conformable to death. If any means, I might attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. Now, Paul is praying his own personal prayer for himself, like his universal prayer for the bride in Ephesians 1, 16 to 20, when he prays the Spirit will come into the church to raise the dead. Now, he's praying for himself the same way. Now, he will therefore be applying to all his own immediate understanding, his own revelation, and his behavior at the time of the resurrection, which is this hour, not his. Now, 10 to 14, we read the first two verses. Not as though I had already attained, either were perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which I also apprehended Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what was his conduct? Now, his conduct was this, because this is has to do with revelation, which has to do with the mental. Now, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, I'm going to discuss this all with you, as I said later, but I just want to hit a couple of words. Now, first of all, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. That word in the Greek does not signify something in the distant past. It's like the beasts were full of eyes behind.
something immediately behind me. The word before is not in the future. It's a statement of position. It lies before me. Get the picture? The revelation of the hour cuts off instantly all former knowledge. You're not concerned anymore, as Paul said over here, with the vital statistics of doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, and eternal judgment. They're all good. They're there. They're right here. But right what is in front of you is what you're looking at. In other words, what the eyes behind six church age messengers, six messages, six outpourings don't do for this hour behind you. You're looking now here. How many are doing it? You want to follow the Apostle Paul to the resurrection? You want to follow those that are standing here that's going to make it? You better behold what's in front of you right now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm trying to get somebody's attention. Open your mind to see me clothed in the Word and to emerge coming forth. 20 to 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and it may be fashioned, a new conformation. We've got a body that's fashioned and conformed to this world. We're going to get one that's ready for the next. I often think, I say, hey, I'm used to this body. You know, may not be too handsome, but it's been a good old body. You know, everybody thinks, I think you think the same way. Felt good things, tasted good things, known good things, and some bad. Lots of bad, but lots of good. It's just like our marriage, 99% good, 1% bad. That's not bad. That's good. That's the way his body is. You know, I can't begin to think what it'd be like over there outside this body. Because my body was fashioned for this world. But there's another world coming. And it's going to be millions and millions of times better. Now that's hard to understand. Because listen, it's, you know as well as I do, it's been mighty good in the right place at the right time. How could you want something better than the best we've got now? So it's going to be millions of times better. See, new bodies for a new world. Don't try to figure it. Just believe it. Now he's going to. Now how is that? Because you see, he's beginning to rank things under Jesus. And Jesus isn't coming back here to this stinking rotten mess. Politics, corruption, violence, immorality, degradation. No. He's going to come back because he's righteous and clean to righteous and clean place. And you know what? It's going to be so wonderful, you could turn the devil loose and all he could do is... Listen. What was that funny? Well, there's something out there. I don't understand it. Chained by circumstances. Except nobody there can be tempted. Now, we're so used to temptation. You say, what fun is there over there? No. It's going to be good not to be tempted. You're going to be like a little child again. The Lamb shall lead them. See, he's ranking it now. He started doing it now. It was already under the prophet in 1963 to the 65 when he died, and going on now, that God has taken over to bring everything under Jesus. And it's being ranked right now. And the first rank is onward Christian soldier. And that what Brother Branham heard to Brian? The faint and distant when he saw the haggy woman come in that wasn't the God. Then he saw the pretty little bride come in and she was singing onward Christian soldiers. It's the rhythm to a march of the military. And the bride is marching to Zion in the ranks. She's being ranked right now. First she's being called out. Who wants Jesus? Oh, everybody said, well, hey, that's a great gospel call. My brother, sister, it is not the great gospel call of some sinners to eternal life. It is a great gospel call of God himself outside the church trying to get a bride out to see him. See? And he's ranking her right now. who is on the Lord's side. See? Ranking her. That's beautiful. Now, verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Every age had its revelation, every age had its part, every age had its place, but today, it is no longer a messenger bringing the word. It is no longer even the messenger coming with the word. It is the messenger himself, the Logos, the word right here today, until he takes the bride away. The leader is the Holy Spirit. That's our portion. All right. We'll close pretty quick with this understanding. God is here making himself known personally. The ministry proved it, for we saw him in John 15:24, which I read to you many times. If I had not done the works of other men, did they not sin, but now they both seen hate both me and my Father. And in John 4, the woman with the well, when she said, Messiah will do that when he comes. And as it was in the days of Sodom, when God stood out there in the form of a man, the Logos, the word of the hour, veiled in human flesh, stood before Abraham. Now every time Brother Branham mentioned that, now he said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if you come, we'll ask him to come. He said, he's here. Every time, never failed. Now listen, that wasn't the gift of healing.
Amen.
Because we operated that. Last time I saw that gift was in Lima. On the Friday night service, 50 miracles, 50 minutes, just bang, 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 nothing to it. We operated that gift by prayer and fasting and everything else. By building faith up. But never once did any man ever operate the gift of discernment. Brother Branagh simply said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if he'll come. Then when he's here, that was gone. The sounding board was the problem. See? Now, this was God himself on the scene revealing himself to be Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now watch. Also, Hebrews 4:12 and 13, the word, for the word of God is quick and powerful, that's the Logos, and sharpening two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit, joined as marrows, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents heart. Now listen, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his, not it, not its, his sake. Who is there? A person? The word, the Logos. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Of whom we have to do. Now listen, every time God stood there, the flame of fire, and the flame of fire, and Brother Branham said he's here, you couldn't hide if you tried, because he took every spirit under his control for the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if 5 million people stood there, every time was necessary, there wasn't one person who could hide.
Amen.
Not one person. He knew you, just like that. And if anybody tried to pull a trick, just pull a trick on him, just watch right now. Swing right into it. You couldn't hide if you tried. Proving he was there, proving he knew you. Well, is that the case? All right. Let's go further. It works a lot of angles when you work this one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is proved is come, that which is part is done away. When I was a child, I think of the child, and so the child, thought as a child, when I was a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I'm also known. And the day when he proves that he reads you just like a book that's open, this hour, that's the day that you know him face to face. See why I preach this way? Dear old servant of God, years ago, I said, Brother Reynolds, tell me, how do you get people full of the Holy Ghost in your church like you always do and healed? He said, son, you get what you preach for. I'm preaching for this. On a Wednesday night, I'll show you the Word of God to prove that I'm right. I preach for it, I'll get it. You want to mess around? I hate to hurt people's feelings, but look, brother, sister, I'm just that kind of a preacher. I can't have a hurt your feeling, because all I've got for in this life is to hopefully say, God, you're here and I'm here. What are you going to do about it? I've given up character. I've given everything else. I've got no way. I'm despondent. I'll be honest with you. I'm proving you knew me. Well, is that the case? All right. Let's go further. It works a lot of angles when you work this one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is proved is come, that which is part is done away. When I was a child, I think of the child, and so the child. Thought as a child, when I was a man, I put away childish things.
But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm also known. And the day when he proves that he reads you just like a book that's open, this hour, that's the day that you know him face to face. See why I preach this way? Dear old servant of God years ago, I said, Brother Reynolds, tell me, how do you get people full of the Holy Ghost in your church like you always do? And he said, son, you get what you preach for. I'm preaching for this. On a Wednesday night, I'll show you the Word of God to prove that I'm right. I preach for it, I'll get it. You want to mess around? I hate to hurt people's feelings, but look, brother, sister, I'm just that kind of a preacher. I can't have a hurt your feeling, because all I've got for in this life is to hopefully say, God, you're here and I'm here. What are you going to do about it? I've given up character. I've given everything else. I've got no way. I'm despondent. I'll be honest with you. Critical everything else. But there's one thing I'm looking at. He's got to be here.
Amen.
He's got to be here. It's like Job said, I look behind me, I can't see him. Look in front, I can't see him. The dark Lord. He said, what are you trying to do? Oh, he said, I know he's not trying to make me weak and run me down. He's trying to put strength in me. Just keep watching. God may be surrounded by dark clouds, but out of the darkness comes light. Say, sure. I'm preaching to get it. He told us who he was and the truth of the Godhead. We saw the mystery of God. We learned the great revelation of the hour, which there is one God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must be baptized in his name. And the gates of hell are against it. But the devil can't stop it. But don't stop there. Remember, he who revealed himself personally was also there with his wisdom. Thus he revealed the time and the plan of the bride, as he revealed the time and the plan of himself. And now she is increasing in her knowledge of him and herself and their relationship. That means she's got to come right up to him. That means in the rapture. Not like those who look back or to the future. She knows now. Brother Branham said the cardinal sin has always been looking back or looking forward, not looking now. It's like he said, the scripture said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He'll do this when he comes, he'll do this when he comes, he'll do this when he comes. And then it says, he came and he did it, he came and he did it, he came and did it, he's gone. That's not the way it's going to be, leave him. Now, I may be a crud up here and I've never apologized. I am what I am. You hear me here in my gutter language, that's the kind of guy I am. I'm a gutter boy. I never pretend to be up there floating around. I'm with the gutter birds, let's face it. But I got one hope. I got one hope. I'm not looking back. I've cut off. I'm looking what's right in front of me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to have a set of leave ale. To the best of my knowledge. But I'll be one of the historians who cried the same cry. Oh, he's coming, he'll do this, he's coming, he'll do this, he's coming, he'll do this. And then when he's gone, I'll say, well, he came and he did it, he came and he did it, he's gone, but I'm here. No, by the grace of God, I see him now.
Amen.
And beholding him is going to make the difference. I can't make myself, I know that, but ask you one question. Why was I called to look if it wasn't to get the benefits? And he was revealed by his own word, and she as a part of that word. She's a part of it. So she's revealed too. And then she's revealing him. Best she can do right now is talk about it. God doesn't mind that. Let's find out what God says about those who talk that way. I like some of these scriptures. Of course I'm biased to certain scriptures. Certainly I am. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they should be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as man spares his own son that serves him. There it is. That's the best she can do. That's all she's required to do. What was Paul required to do to give a testimony to God? If that's what the apostle was required, and he needed the signs and wonders to prove it, and William Branham was in the same group, what more do we need than the testimony? Nothing. We're identified. Uniting time message, 2 Thessalonians, is bringing us into a unity that will bring on the squeeze. For we will say with Jesus, I and my Father are one. That's the vertical to the horizontal.
When you get looking at him, you know he's looking at you. You'll find yourself a unique people because you'll know people don't believe that way. It'll divide homes, families, everything. Best he can do. It's up to God to bring him. God's going to bring him. My wife and I see eye to eye. Of course, our marriage was meant that way. That's good. I don't know what it's going to do to families. There's coming a day when there won't be a remembrance of the family as you know it today. And you'll find that the home that mothered you, the mother that bore you, and the father that sired you, as you think, was merely a carrier. And your real parents are there as you came down in the right election, the right foreknowledge predestinated by God. Ephesians 1:22b. I'll get you out of here in a few minutes. No service this afternoon. We had one last night. And I like that. 22b says, and gave him to be head over all things, the church of his body, the fullness of him that fills all things, all things. He's filling it in this hour. He is filling that part of her left of himself, the word, for this hour. And that is 1 Corinthians 15. Part of it is, to the living now. 15:51, I show you mystery and all the secret will all be changed, won't change at the last trumpet sound. Seventh church, eighth messenger. The dead shall be raised into trouble, and then we're going to be changed. For this cup, building is corrupt, building is mortality. And what is done, death stands back for a while. Jesus comes to this bride himself to bring her into immortality and into his kingdom. And she will not come into the tribulation. Go and do it. 1 Peter 1:13-17. Gird loins your mind, be sober, hope the end of the grace that has been brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's it say? A special grace to be brought at the apocalypse when he manifests, openly declares and shows who he is. As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust and ignorance. You had a certain pattern of life that age brought you, but this age brings you something different. Where your one crying concern is the word and nothing else. As Brother Brown said, I feel so sorry for this age. I'm worried lest they fall in line as they did in Matthew 13. The cares of this world take them from the word as obedient children. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of behavior because written, be holy for I am holy. Now Brother Brown explained that nobody can be holy as God. Nobody can be perfect. Unless God do something by it. What did he do by it? By the blood. How can you make a man a sinner in the blood of Jesus Christ scatter sin? And if you call on the Father who without respect of person judges the ordinary man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now listen, at the time of his revelation, we're looking for a special grace from Almighty God, which grace will take us out of this world. So understand clearly now, his wisdom was manifested by Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which proves the resurrection is near for those who believe. And the knowledge of him opens the door to perfect faith, worship oneness, where nothing is secret anymore, but calling us friends, he lets us know what he is doing. And that ministry of the Spirit is so beautiful in the saints, which is coming down the road, that oneness, when the vertical is truly in the horizontal, it'll be here. So what he does, so we see what he does, rather, and we see the effect of that knowledge. He presents himself and she believes him. That he will take her to the wedding supper as Eliezer talked to Rebecca. He is here now and he is finishing in the bride what he left for this hour. The last one's child trained and immortalized. He at that time when he was here said, search the scripture and find out it is I in the scripture who talks to you. And he says the same thing today. Search the scripture and see if the Bible proves it. And if the Bible proves it, it will be reproduced, as he said, and you are born again. Born again to the incorruptible hope, brother, sister, which we had 2,000 years ago, but the hope is coming to pass today. It takes an incorruptible seed. That's why we're getting to the old creeds and dogmas. Freshly impregnated by way of the mind. To bring forth a replica, another image of Jesus Christ who is the image of God. You say, how's it going to come? I've been talking about it all the time. He's doing it. As long as you want to look at it and behold it. If it's too much to see, you get nowhere. But you know something? Someone's going to see him. By the grace of God, we can be that people. It's got to be by grace. It's got to be by election. I've never told you this is something you're going to work up. But I've let you know, as the prophet did, if you're part of it, you'll be looking at it. And you'll be seen. You know, there's something I've demanded at certain times in my life. And that demand was this. There's no way I can have confidence in certain people unless they eyeball me. Look me right in the eye. No way. It's gone too far. And I want to tell you, God is eyeballing the people today. Are the people ready to eyeball back? No, they're not. Too many creeds and dogmas in the way. Too many organizations. Too much to lose. I don't figure I got anything to lose. I done lost it all anyway. You say, how do you know, Brother Dale? Look, I left it all, didn't I?
Right, amen.
I was so stupid I didn't have any more brains than to get into it. If I'm left to my own, I'd be just as stupid to get back in. I'm finished. It's got to be trust once and for all.
Amen.
You've got to come to the place where you believe when he appears. At that unveiling, you will be blameless. Don't put that, my brother, at the judgment seat as though God is going to judge you as though you could ever be judged. There is no way, for the bride cannot come into a judgment.
Amen.
That is a placing of God's favors upon you, whether you love him enough to do what his word said. And where you did it, consciously and unconsciously, you will get a reward and a presentation. But this, what I'm talking about, is here. Blameless, holy, righteous, undefiled, established in his presence to walk to immortality. It's all of grace because he came to do it. Do we see him doing it? Now, brother, sister, there's very few that see him doing it. That's a very good sign because the majority has always been wrong. It is only the minority. 7,000 out of maybe 4 million had not bowed the knee. I think the same percentage could hold good. I don't know. But I know one thing, as the prophet said, and I agree with him so well do I agree. He said, I'm not riding the midnight trail screaming, he's coming. Now, the way the book sounds like, he's talking about the Antichrist. Don't you believe it? He didn't have any heralding message for an Antichrist. And we already knew he was here. The Spirit. John says so. I'm not riding midnight trail screaming, he's coming. He's done already come. The gates of hell against the revelation. That Jesus Christ is here and the same yesterday and today and forever. And the devil hates it. And the gates of hell hate it. The kingdom of darkness is against it. Let me tell you, it isn't going to prevail because he is going to change your bride and take her away. Because that is thus saith the Holy Scripture. And that is the revelation the prophet gave us. Shall we rise? Merciful God, we praise and thank you again for the time we've had here to study your word, believing, Lord, that it brings some loose ends together and clarify even much more than we have been able to bring previously to help the people, scripture lining up, not lining up, Lord, as man would see it, granting that, but lining up in the word, now that we see the message as the prophet said, that's all we will see in the word, and we're glad for it and thankful for it. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for that former rain that has been re-sown, the teaching. And now we know just waiting for the mixing of the latter rain which is already here to bring the dead out of the ground and to change us. In the meantime, Lord, we will, by your grace,
And even now, with this simple thing, we seem to fall so short as to be pitiful. How often are we speaking one to another? Fearing the Lord. Believing on His name. The message in our hearts and lips. Jewels waiting to come into the crown. Knowing righteousness from unrighteousness. Him who serves God and him who doesn't. Having been turned back in the hearts of faith. To the very faith that Jesus himself had when he went to the cross. To redeem us. To pay a price of satisfaction for God. To see the travail of his own soul and be satisfied. For he shall see the seed. Lord, I believe that today. We're willing this morning, Lord, for you to take your scalpel, your sword, your word. Remove every veil from within every mind this morning and every heart. Circumcise every mind and every heart. And shut us up with the joy, because it is joy. Of being pregnant with the word of Almighty God. Where Satan cannot touch us again. That he has established us. Once, Lord, it could be prayed unto him who shall establish us. But now it can be said, thanks unto God who hath established us. And a part of the kingdom. Bless each one, Lord. Those traveling, far, near, whatsoever. Journey mercy for healing. For hearts. Whatever, Lord. We know there's a bomb in Gilead. We know, Lord, if not one thing was to be done from now on, just waiting for this resurrection and change, that would be sufficient. But never once, Lord, did you ever say, you are not the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the voice that said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am your provider. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. I am your shepherd. I am all these things. There has not been one decline or abnegation. Then how much more at this hour revealing? Let that sweet spirit, God himself, move amongst us. Till there be not one feeble one in our midst. Let this love of God, liquid love of the Holy Spirit, that has tied each one of us to you as individuals, now tie each and every one together in the love and bowels of compassion which are in Christ Jesus our Lord and amongst us. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Wednesday at 7:30, we continue in the same line, same series, but with different titles. There will be different information until we come to the first week or so in July, when at that time, hopefully, I'll be ready to take you to the seventh seal to show you why I believe the seventh seal is what I have been preaching all along here. Which is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Taking the words about. So the Lord bless you. And let us sing a little song, then take the name of Jesus with you as we are ready to go.